Hello, MonsterVine.com readers and Indie Complete listeners. This is Francesca, here with Kyle.
Hello, I'm the audio engineer for today.
Thank you, I appreciate it. And we're here today bringing you a special indie developer interview with Nina Freeman, a level designer at Fulbright and the creator of Starmade Games. So we're here today to talk about her recent releases, including visual novel Kimmy for PC and Mac, released April 18th this year, and LostMemories.net, released this June 30th for PC, Mac, and web browser. Thank you for joining us, Nina.
Yay, hello.
Hi. So we're super, super excited to chat with you today, mostly about LostMemories.net and Kimmy.
And we have music playing from Kimmy as well.
So the thing I wanted to start with is just ask a little bit about your development background, the types of games that you like to make, because I know you focus a lot on autobiographical vignette games, and I'm not sure many of our listeners are really familiar with exactly what that means. So can you tell us a little bit about your experience making these kinds of games?
Sure. So long story short, when I was in undergrad, I went to Pace University. I had a mentor, Charles North, who's a poet, and I got really into poetry then, and that was sort of what I was doing primarily before games. And he introduced me to poets from like the New York school. So poets writing, I think, in like the 70s and 80s in New York. So poets like Frank O'Hara and Elizabeth Bishop, both of them aren't necessarily in the New York school, but sort of like that era and that group of poets. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them were writing very personal work. And also lots of vignettes, so like little sort of like Frank O'Hara. I talk a lot about Frank O'Hara's book Lunch Poems, which is pretty famous, which is all poems he wrote on his lunch breaks when he was working in New York at a museum. And a lot of them are just like him observing things around him while he, you know, has his lunch in New York or is like walking around or whatever. So a lot of them sort of took the form of a vignette. And that was the kind of stuff I was really interested in, and primarily like the stuff I was inspired by when I was writing poetry. And that I think is sort of when I like grew as a writer. Like I was like my young writer phase. I was like writing a lot of stuff like that. So when I started making games, I kind of like carried that over without you, like I wanted to, but also like it was kind of inevitable because that was just sort of the work I was exposed to and that I was writing already. So I started sort of thinking about games from that perspective. Yeah. And the focus really for me is like vignettes and character studies. So like Kimmy isn't autobiographical, but like variously my work is, and usually it's more like semi-autobiographical where it's like drawing on real stuff, but like twisting it quite a bit to like get a good story or image out of it. So that's sort of, I guess, the baseline and where that stuff came from.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting to hear that you were sort of transitioning from like very personal poetry and bringing that to the realm of games. When you were doing that transition, did you already see like an existing audience for that style of game? Or were you just like, this is what I need to make and I hope my audience will find me?
I don't know if I even thought about it at first, because really like the way I got into games was like going to game jams in New York with my friends. And so we were just doing it for fun. So there wasn't really like the worry about an audience. Like we were our audience.
Yeah.
You know, I was teaching myself how to program so I could contribute in that way. But often like for a lot of the early game jams with the friends I was working with, I was able to sort of like pitch a story to them and like we would go from there. So that's like how do you do it happen and ladylike and stuff. Often I would even pitch the idea before the game jam and just fit it to the theme. Yeah. So like it really was at first like more of just like a for fun like hobby thing. Obviously it's way more serious now, but I guess I was lucky that I didn't really have to worry about audience at first, because I think it would have held me back a little bit.
Personally, I think, yeah, game jams are such a great way to like exert your like creative, just kind of make like really silly things with friends. And it's always a great feeling when something you made for kind of for fun becomes like a more serious long-term project.
Yeah. And just to see like how much you can actually do in a short amount of time, because I think it's a lot. Like, I mean, not much testing and iteration, but you can still come up with something pretty nice.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so we're going to go ahead and transition. I wanted to talk a little bit about LostMemories.net, which came out very recently. So this is a game about teen girls, blogs, and love triangles that takes place in 2004. And it's now available to play and download for free on your Itch page.
Yeah, and the Manchester International Festival website, which is the festival that commissioned it.
Oh, yeah. And I think you just recently got back from that festival, right?
Yep. Last week. I went for 2 days. It was crazy.
Wow. That's a lot of traveling.
Yeah. It was like ridiculous. It was so fun, though. That festival is like really amazing.
Yeah. I wish I saw some of the photos and it looked like a ton of fun. So.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Oh, that's great. Awesome. Yeah. So so our first question is that this game is very, very text heavy in that it sort of takes place mostly through like instant messaging and like websites, blogs that you're able to navigate through. And I noticed that like all of the characters and the websites that you can visit, they all have a very unique voice and writing style. So I was kind of wondering what the writing process was for this game.
So for this kind of thing, where like whether it's Civil or Lost Memories, like things where I'm really trying to like recreate a pretty specific time and scenarios. I mean, I guess not specifically within a digital environment, but like when I'm trying to do more of like a period piece like that.
Yeah.
I do like a ton of research. So I basically spent a lot of time going through the Wayback Machine, which is a site that they basically have like they're not like screenshots, but they have like basically like save files of like sites going years and years back.
Oh, wow.
And they're not like complete all the time. And like you can only go like sometimes you'll go to a screenshot and it just like won't work. But I was able to go back and get a bunch from like 2000, like specifically 2004 of the sites that I had then. And I just went through and saved all the images that were preserved and all the text. And I just went through all of that. I made a lot. Like, this game doesn't even describe how many websites I made at that age. So I had a lot to draw from, which was nice. And through that, I was able to sort of like explore that like era of the internet just through going through the Wayback Machine and clicking links to other people's sites like that I didn't even remember, but I knew about back then and look at their stuff. And so I drew a lot from that. So I had a lot of source material, which is nice. And then I also interviewed this woman who I met in 2004 making websites, and she was like my first like online friend.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and she and I, so Kayla is basically like, she's based on her. They're very different because I, you know, actually Danielle's her name. Our relationship in my memory was just like truly very, like we were very close friends and it was all, we were so young. So it felt like kind of, like looking back on it, I'm like, there's not much drama there. Like we didn't have drama. We were just really good friends, but we could share a lot of our personal lives with each other. So basically that was the context from which I was drawing without like, it's less a little bit like Sybil is maybe more literal to a person and Lost Memories is like just an amalgamation of all these people I remember.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the process, was Wayback Machine research and interviewing Danielle and looking through my old blogs, and like I found all my old chat logs from that time.
Wow. Oh gosh. All stuff. Oh wow, that's super great. Yeah, one of my follow-up questions was going to be if a lot of this was based on obviously very personal experiences, but if you also like reached out and interviewed other women who are, you know, our age now and kind of fit into this time period, because personally I felt like while I was playing through it, I was like, oh my God, it feels like someone recorded all of my instant message. Like it feels so authentic to what I experienced in middle school.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad it feels that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tried to reach out to a bunch of people, but not everyone got back to me. So I got way less than I wanted, but basically, I mean, I worked on it for like on and off for like a year. So I got to talk a lot to Danielle, and that was probably the most important part because we had a really big interview. Yeah, I reached out to people and like have talked to a lot of women my own age about this. Mm-hmm. And like my friend Lauren playtested it, and she definitely like had very similar experiences to this. So I talked to her about it. And yeah, like, well, part of this is like, I wish I had more time to play test it and stuff, but it's a commission game, so there's a deadline.
Yes.
So much of that I could do. But like normally my practice would be like with Sybil, I tested like every single part of the game story and like asked people if they found it convincing. I didn't really have the luxury of that time for this game.
Yeah.
But I did sort of, I actually got Kyle from Emily's Away to play test it too. And when he was like, he said it was convincing, I was like, okay, I'm good. Because he obviously has a lot of experience with this kind of material. So yeah, it was like interviewing and playtests, I think primarily for trying to see if I was capturing something. Oh, and Emma Kidwell also helped me write it. So I got another perspective through her. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, yeah. No, I felt like it definitely hit me on a personal level. And I think like Kyle, when we were chatting about it earlier, was also talking about, like the fan listings and how you Yeah, you experienced that as a kid as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Building websites, personal blogs, hosting other people's blogs.
Oh, yeah. It was a real big thing.
So if you would like to check out lostmemories.net, that is available on your itch page for free.
Yep. Definitely. Oh, and I collaborated with Aaron Friedman on it, who also worked with me on Kimmy. And he and I have grown very close as collaborators, and he really like helped me with the design on this stuff too. So, I mean, I do like basically all the writing, but for the game itself, like I credit him a lot. Like he built basically the whole website builder for Lost Memories, which is really, it was really good. So
yeah, I was very, very impressed. So in the game, you're able to like edit your personal blog, which I quickly realized I was garbage at. but yeah, the whole system of just like how much you can edit to be like very, very personal, I really appreciate it. So that's awesome. He built that whole thing. Wow.
Yeah, I pitched the basic idea and then he like ran with it way farther than I expected. So I was like, sweet.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Okay, great. So we'll go ahead and start talking about our main game topic for this interview, which I initially contacted you about, which is Kimmy. So Kimmy is a visual novel style game about a summer spent babysitting in late 1960s Massachusetts. And it's currently available for PC and Mac on Steam, Humble, and Itch. And you can play a free demo of the game, which is available through Steam. So Nina, I feel like a lot of your games, like Sybil or LostMemories.net, are particularly about like the experience of growing up. And I felt this one sort of was more about experiencing childhood and maybe a reluctance to grow up. I was wondering what initially spurred the inspiration for Kimmy, and if you can tell listeners a little bit more about its design and how it plays.
Sure. It is, yeah, a visual novel style game, like you said, where you're playing as this young girl, Dana. I'll explain the story, but she's basically a babysitter in the game, and you play as her while she's babysitting this younger girl, Kimmy, and they go outside and play a lot of street games. And so sort of like the core loop is like going around and talking to all the kids in the neighborhood and trying to play street games with them if you have the right stuff to do so. Mm-hmm. So all the games that are in the game are like kickball or can, but of course I say both kicking ones for some reason. There's like so many games in it. Marbles, so specifically street games that you would find in the 60s that kids would need toys for. Mm-hmm. And you go buy toys at the store and yeah, go around and use them to play games with other kids. And that sort of like unlocks basically conversations with those kids. So you can kind of follow their little side stories or how their relationship with Kimmy and Dana grows. And a lot of those conversations sort of contribute to learning about Kimmy and Dana's relationship and what Kimmy's family is up to. So it's about like babysitting and going around and playing these games and getting to know everyone in the neighborhood and progressing the story in that way. And you only have like a specific set number of hours a day, and each hour each conversation consumes 1 hour, and also going to the store consumes an hour. So you kind of have to like manage who you want to talk to based on what time it is. And these are all sort of like pretty familiar, I think, visual novel tropes, like especially the hour stuff. And I've been playing a lot of visual novels, so I sort of was drawing on a lot of that like typical stuff you see in Japanese visual novels specifically, and then sort of layering the street game idea on top of that. So all that said, the game was originally inspired by my mom, who I was talking to, I was visiting a couple years ago, and she kind of just randomly was telling me this story about how she used to babysit this girl called Kimmy when she was a kid.
Oh.
And in reality, I think my mom was supposed to be like 12 and Kimmy was like 5. So I aged them up a bit for the game's purposes. Yeah. But yeah, my mom was really a babysitter when she was a kid and would go out and play games with kids in the neighborhood. And she told me this whole story about her and Kimmy and sort of like the mystery like that happened with Kimmy. And it's all basically the game draws on that story that my mom told me. And I ended up calling her later and like before I made the game, recorded a really long interview with her about it where I asked her to tell me like every single detail she could remember about babysitting Kimmy and what the neighborhood was like back then. My mom grew up in Malden, Massachusetts.
Oh, that's right nearby me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is all based on that interview. And I talked to like my grandmother and my mom's sisters, because they all, you know, were around for this and sort of learned about what types of people would be around and specifically who Kimmy was and what her family is like. So it's all sort of drawing on interviews I did with them. And obviously Laura did her own research into depicting what everything would look like visually to make it, you know, fit that period. So she did that. But yeah, so it's all based on real stuff.
Wow. Yeah. I did not realize it was, you know, biographical to that level.
Yeah.
I did have a follow-up question as well regarding that. I'm pretty new to visual novel style games myself, but like dialogue, character, and story are often the components of games that are shared and discussed most by players, be it an RPG title or even a shooter like Overwatch. For how players experience Kimmy and how it focuses primarily on these sorts of aspects, is it kind of like, from your experience and just playing games in general, is it focusing specific on aspects like other RPGs or even games like shooters do for dialogue, story, characters, or is this like a different brew just for people that are less familiar with visual novels like myself?
Yeah. I mean, they're all just like different styles. I think you can tell really good stories in any of them. I think visual novels, yeah, they're obviously like a niche. I basically like only make niche games, I suppose. And yeah, I mean, I play a ton of Otome games. So like dating sims targeted at straight women, usually made in Japan. And I like was playing a ton of those when I started making Kimmy. And a lot of those, the basic structure is like, you're basically just like clicking through dialogue and like reading this dialogue between yourself and the other characters, usually these boys you're trying to date. And then at specific points in the story, when something important and plot relevant happens, you're given like two or three choices as to what your character does. And that sort of leads to like a branching path structure. And in the Otome games, it's like, you know, each path leads to a different guy that you date. So that's like, I think, probably the most common visual novel format. And the one that I play a lot of. So I think the focus of those is just like, yeah, kind of considering what the character's motives are and trying to figure out what choices will lead you down the path that you want to go down based on your understanding of the characters by reading all the dialogue. So with Kimmy, I don't really make branching dialogue or branching narrative games because my stuff is more about like one character and their specific motives. And I think giving the player too much power over their motives makes it about the player and not about the character anymore.
Right.
So I was kind of like, how can I do that within the visual novel format? Because that seems challenging. So I kind of wanted to think about that. So yeah, the solution I came up with basically was the street game stuff where I'm like basically giving the player a method to role play as her without actually like changing her motives or trying to like decide like what that. She's doing for her. And also giving the player the choice of like, I'll give them a bunch of characters that they can like, you know, kind of choose from, similar to like a dating sim or something, and they can follow the different paths by just, you know, having a limited amount of time, kind of similar actually to Danganronpa, which I hadn't played at the time, but has a similar mechanic where you're like, you know, you get to pick which characters you want to spend your time with. So it's more like that. So it's the two layers being the role-playing aspects through the street games and then expressing player intent by just picking who you want to talk to.
Yeah, I like that because like even if an NPC or other characters that you're speaking with was kind of rude to Dana or Kimmy, I was like, well, maybe I'll avoid them tomorrow.
Yeah. So that was sort of my way of avoiding the typical design of like having the player character be sort of an empty character that the player fills in with their own motives.
Yeah.
And giving the player a reason to think about how they are Dana and how maybe they don't want to talk to Blythe because she's mean to Dana, you know?
Yeah.
So making it more about considering the character's feelings and motives over your own. Mm-hmm. Although you can still do your own. Like if you just want to talk to Blythe, like you definitely have the choice. So it kind of depends how you want to play it.
I really liked how both Kimmy and Dana developed throughout the game, kind of in their own kind of period in their life. Kimmy's much younger than Dana, of course. So I really like that aspect too. I was wondering if I would see much character development if the game wasn't going to be like, you know, 40 hours long sort of thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
There was a surprising amount.
Yeah, and I think usually like Kimmy's probably the most like plot heavy game I've ever made, and I usually don't have games with like much character development because vignettes don't always lend themselves to that. But yeah, kind of the way I have done that is just by like jumping forward in time, which is like a pretty typical technique, I think, for any kind of storytelling. It's just like show specific moments that happen over a long period of time, and the player or reader, if it's a different format, can fill in the blanks pretty easily. So yeah, that's sort of how I enabled or like tried to design around, like, I want to tell this like longer story that's about this whole relationship between the two. It took place over a short enough period of time that the time jumps like made sense, because it's only like a month. Sybil, I did a similar thing, and also Lost Memories, actually. So I like to do that sort of like act, like acts in a play format.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, I wanted to ask you another like a follow-up question about VN specifically. Personally, I feel like visual novels are becoming much more respected and desired by Western audiences. So I was wondering if you agree with that, and if you do, why you think that is, and if that shift kind of influenced Kimmy or the development of Kimmy at all.
Yeah, I mean, I've always sort of been aware of visual novels since childhood. Obviously, you played Lost Memories, so you can imagine all of the, like, Aero game screenshots from Japanese visual novels I was looking at the time. So that's actually sort of how I learned what they are forever ago. And then, yeah, when I got more into games, I actually discovered Christine Love's work, and she makes really, really amazing visual novels that are very, like, often mechanically dense, I'd say, for that format, especially like Lady Killer's newer, but I think she probably is sort of the extreme example of a visual novel designer, where she really is like a systems heavy designer of that sort of game. And then you have the other end of the spectrum, which is the Otome games I was describing, where really the only choice you're making is like every once in a while try to navigate down a path. So you sort of have this spectrum, I think, of them. And yeah, for me, I just like really like dating sims, like as a player.
Oh, me too.
I just find them really like fun and enjoyable to play on my free time. So for me, the appeal started out just like as games that I like to play for fun, but also like Hakuoki is one of my favorite games ever, like in general, just as a writer. I think it's really good, really well written. So for me, I'm a fan, and yeah, I think they're becoming more popular. Like, obviously Hakuoki's done pretty well for itself, I think, in the Western world. And also I just started recently Danganronpa, which I think is actually also like a really mechanically interesting game, sort of more on the Christine Love end of the spectrum. And that game I know is like pretty popular. So yeah, I think they're definitely becoming more of a thing. I don't know if I could say why, but I mean, I see them all the time all over Twitter, and everyone's like talking about them and stuff. So
yeah, which is so exciting.
And I mean, honestly, a lot of it, I think, for me, like my community that I like will look for game, like game recommendations from, like, we're all like anime nerds and like Japanese visual, like, you know, as like in that way, and we've all grown up sort of being fascinated by them. So part of it is probably like that group of people coming of age and like suddenly being a profitable audience to market.
Definitely.
Makes sense now.
It all makes sense. Yeah. We're just a bunch of big anime nerds.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel limited while you're working on Kimmy or, you know, other text-heavy games like LostMemories.net? Did you ever feel limited by sort of the visual novel format or the format that sort of that audience generally expects?
I mean, when I'm making stuff, I usually, well, first of all, the text, so sort of like the fact that they're both heavily text-based was on purpose, because both of them were like commission games where I only had a limited amount of time to work on them. And text is much faster to generate than art, than like a visual illustrations. Although obviously Laura did like a like extremely insane amount of art for Kimmy in the end. Because of the nature of it being a commission, and I had to like, you know, present the game in various states on a timeline to people who were, you know, basically funding it, I wanted to make something that I could prototype quickly by myself, just with Aaron. Neither of us are visual artists, so the constraint was primarily a practical one at first, and it sort of made sense because, like I was saying before, I just think visual novels are really cool, so I kind of just wanted to try making one in general. But it was a good constraint to have, because I could make, you know, a game with substance without, like, you know, having to have an artist like have a million illustrators work on it because there wasn't enough time, you know, that kind of
thing.
So a practical constraint. And I also just like, I mean, I still just in general like writing a lot. I like writing dialogue and stuff. So it's also sort of selfishly for me to like have fun doing that. it's obviously on Tacoma, I'm not really doing writing per se. I'm doing like level design, which is more like, it's more like scripting or like doing 3D architecture stuff, like level layouts and stuff. So I like in my side projects going back and doing like heavier, like text heavier stuff, because that's a muscle I like to exercise, I suppose. So there's a lot of reasons. The first one being the practical need.
Yeah, no, I did notice that. Yeah, we scheduled this interview to talk specifically about Kimmy, and then like since the time we've scheduled the interview, yeah, LostMemories.net came out. So you're releasing games pretty quickly.
Yeah, I know. I was working on, there was like a point, I like was working on like four games at one point.
Oh,
I know, it was
God. Kind of crazy.
Wow. But I mean, the Lost Memories and Kimmy were both commission games, which yeah. I think is not super common in the game development world yet. So whenever I get the chance to do one, I take it, because I think it's like cool that people actually want to do that these days.
Definitely.
So yeah, I was working on Kimmy and Lost Memories at the same time for probably like 5 months. There-ish, and obviously working on Tacoma also, so yeah, a lot of stuff.
Yeah, very busy. I noticed while I was playing the game that it kind of glosses over some more mature topics like race or sexuality during the 1960s, but it's all experienced through the point of view of the young protagonist, who's kind of looking at it from, you know, a child's perspective. And she doesn't necessarily understand what's really being discussed, but the players who are more mature are kind of picking up on it. So I was wondering why you felt these moments were important to include in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you definitely caught on to something there, where like, basically I have a pretty diverse set of characters.
Yeah.
And obviously it's set in the 60s, where there's a whole like specific political climate and stuff. But like you said, this game is from the perspective of a child. And obviously she's like a little bit sheltered, because you can kind of see in her relationship with her mom, she's like, just don't think about that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. date when you're 30.
Yeah, date when you're 30, God sent me a baby.
Yeah. So she's pretty naive, but because, you know, I wanted to have Black characters and gay characters, I can't just like pretend, you know, that they don't have the specific experiences that they would have had. So I tried to consider that stuff and put it in and depict it. So there's this thing, I think people like will want to address those topics in games and like rightfully want the characters to like comment on them. But I was trying to think realistically, like you said, Dana would not really like have any comment. She'd probably pick up on the fact that something's wrong. Like there was that one part where she's talking to Anthony and Amber, and yeah, they kind of allude to their mom telling them not to go to this specific neighborhood because it's not safe for them. And Dana, like, I had her kind of react where she like kind of gets it, but she like can't put words to it.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, kids aren't like that dumb. Like they know when something's up, and that's kind of what I wanted to show. Mm-hmm. And also I know that the player would be aware of that happening, so I thought it would be meaningful to present it and let the player sort of absorb it and consider what it means on their own time, rather than like, it kind of bugs me when people write like children characters or whatever and like make them give this really clever social commentary, because that is not what real life.
Yeah.
And I trust the players to like be able to pick up on that stuff themselves, especially if I'm depicting it like, you know, Anthony and Amber are like, yeah, we're going to listen to our mom and we know that it's not safe, but they're not going to talk about why, because they're kids, you know?
Yeah.
Or like with the shopkeeper character, his relationship, like they do talk about it. But yeah, and like, you know, it's sort of like Kimmy and Dana listening in.
Yeah.
But they're talking about it on their own terms. And for them, you know, like they're obviously keeping it private because they don't want their families to know or whatever. So they're not really talking about it in explicit terms, because that's just not what they would have done. So yeah, I was trying to like sort of show and illustrate that those sort of topics without writing characters that would react to them in unrealistic ways, and trusting the player to see those and be like, yeah, that this feels like a genuine experience in the way someone would have actually talked about this in the situation.
Yeah, I'd say like the history we grew up on is quite sanitized, and you know, you know, up until my 20s, I wasn't aware of most of these sorts of things in vivid detail like I am today. So I'm glad that's in there, because it's probably a more honest reflection of that time than us growing up really got to see or hear
about. And I think for kids, like that stuff is sort of always ambiently happening. But like, you probably wouldn't even remember encountering situations like that. But like, because people are really private about like, you know, if they're being discriminated against, you know, they're not like going around probably and talking about it to random people they meet on the street. I mean, now obviously people are more openly talking about that stuff. But especially back then, like, especially interviewing my mom and hearing her talk about it, like, that illustrated a lot where, like, everything was very private. Like, you didn't talk about it. Yeah, I was definitely thinking about that reality that was specific to sort of the average person in that time period. And setting, it's like Massachusetts, sort of middle class, primarily white neighborhood. You know, there's specificities to that too. So yeah, I tried to think about all that stuff and in an honest way.
Yeah, I think as well, you're talking about how you were understanding that sort of the societal expectation was to kind of keep things very private. You know, as you're progressing through the game and you're finding out more about Kimmy and her home situation, there's moments where, like, Dana's mom will just be like, oh, don't worry about it, or, like, it's not something for you to, you know, discuss or, like, think about, so just kind of leave them to do their own thing at home. So, yeah, I definitely got that vibe.
Yeah, I mean, the whole game, like, one of, I guess, the larger things that recurs throughout is, yeah, talking about, like, what should be in the private sphere and what should be in the public sphere, and how, like, the kids are kind of violating that rule constantly with each other because they have their own, like, politics, basically. And because of that interview I had with my mom and talking to, like, my extended family about it, I just found it fascinating how, like, even, like, to this day, they're still, like, very much in that mindset of, like, private versus public, and, like, how important private is, and keeping stuff like sexuality or, like, race issues at, like, holding them sort of, like, close and not actually, like, addressing them verbally with anyone, because that's just the way their culture worked at the time. Obviously very weird to someone like me who, like, you know, we're on Twitter, we're all talking about this stuff.
That was what I was gonna say, is if you compare sort of that mindset to the mindset we have now or had when we were growing up. So if you look at, like, lostmemories.net, where everything is like, oh, I'm gonna put all my very personal feelings, like, up on the internet and talk with my friends about these very personal things constantly.
And I know that I fall into exploring, like, more of the themes of, like, let me blog about all my personal feelings as a 14-year-old. I kind of wanted to challenge myself and be like, what if I tried writing about, like, a completely different social culture that I'm not as familiar with, and, like, I just wanted to see if I could do it, because, you know, most of my work before that had been more, like, personal stuff that I'm very familiar with, like, internet chatting and stuff, as opposed to, like, dealing with 60s babysitters and street games. So I kind of, part of it also was just for that challenge to see if I could write that kind of thing in a way that felt real.
So then, quickly, as a wrap-up question, because we're almost out of time, who was your favorite character to write or create in the game, and who was your least favorite?
My favorite character to write was definitely Blythe.
Really?
Yeah, well, she's like, you know, she's plot the twist. Asshole, and you get to, like, she's like the troublemaker, and it's the troublemaker. Like, I remember I had so much fun writing the conversation where she steals her dad's beer and drinks it. I was like, what? Like, I know I've talked to a lot of people who stole their parents' or grandparents' alcohol or whatever as children without really understanding what kind of effect it would have on them.
Yeah, because you're just like, this is a cool grown-up thing.
Yeah, exactly. So I had a lot of fun when I was writing Blythe, thinking of, like, sort of like the trouble that kids will get themselves into, and trying to think of things like that that are sort of, like, timeless. So I thought of that, and, like, so yeah, she was fun, and just, like, the back and forth between her and Dana and Kimmy, I think, is, like, pretty funny. And I don't really get to write, like, super openly mean characters very much, because usually it's, like, kind of cartoony, but I think with the age group, it made sense that there would be, like, a bully, basically. But I also, like, you know, had her have her more kind-hearted moments so that she wasn't just, like, one-dimensional. So that was really fun. And I guess my least favorite character... like, I don't know if I have a least favorite character. Well, I guess I don't really like Dana's mom is obviously, like, a tough character, because she just doesn't want to talk to anyone about anything.
Yes.
So figuring out, like, she was a harder one to write because she had to be around for these, like, important plot moments. But I also couldn't have her, like, having very heartfelt conversations with anyone, because that's not what her character's about.
Yeah.
So it was definitely more challenging to make her, like, be an interesting character and, like, have, like, meaningful conversations with people. And I had to do it because there's really important points that only really made sense for Dana to learn about through her mom. But writing those in a way that actually suited her character was pretty hard, because I think the in reality version of that would be Dana's mom literally just not telling her anything. So that was hard.
Yeah, I think there's a point in the game after the Kimmy situation, and you start learning more, and you're very curious because nobody's really telling you anything. Where you go talk to your mom, and she's like, "Don't worry about it. Like, here's a nickel. Like, go outside and play." And that exactly fits what my mom tells me about, like, my grandmother's parenting style, where she's like, "Here's a quarter. I'll see you at come home before dark." Right?
Totally. I think that was. Yeah, that does seem to be a common story amongst, like, our grandparents' generation, I would say.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you so much for chatting with us about Kimmy. We both had a really great time playing it and kind of comparing experiences. I know Kyle said earlier that I think you talked to Blythe once and was like, "This girl's mean," and never spoke to her again the whole game.
Well, until I had to near the end, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm very excited to play through it again, actually, and experience all the other dialogues that I missed initially.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm very excited. And then quickly, before we completely wrap up our interview, to let our listeners know, for our August episode of Indie Complete, we're going to be talking about Nina's other upcoming game with Fulbright, Tacoma, which releases on August 2nd. In my notes, I just wrote, "Tell us all your secrets," but I was wondering, Nina, if you have any, if you can let us know exactly what to expect or any insights.
Yeah. So it comes out on August 2nd, and we're working really hard to finish it up, wrap up everything. That's what I've been doing lately. And yeah, so for people who don't know, Tacoma is first-person story exploration game set on a space station in the near future. You play as a contractor named Amy, who's been sent by this gigantic corporation to go sort of collect this leftover data that's been left on the ship after the crew has recently evacuated. And you're not really told, Amy's not really told, like, why that happened or who the crew was, and all that stuff. So you're sort of there as her collecting this data, but there is sort of, like, leftover recordings and stuff, like, sort of corrupted data that didn't get completely wiped off of the station. So you can go around and explore the station and find this corrupted data and use it to learn about sort of what happened on the ship and who the people that lived there were. And you're not really supposed to, so you're being a little sneaky about it. But basically, they're like these AR, so augmented reality is like sort of an in-fiction element of the game where you have like your AR headset on so you can see all this data in the world. And there's these AR scenes, which are basically like almost like security camera footage of what the crew were up to at certain points. And you can scrub through it like a tape. And it's got sort of a Sleep No More element where the characters, the scenes take place in 3D space, so you can follow different characters who walk off into different rooms, and these events are happening simultaneously. So you can scrub through the scene and go look at one part of it, and then maybe rewind, you missed another part that was happening across the room, and go check that out. So it's really about sort of interacting with these AR scenes and looking at characters' emails that pop up throughout these scenes and investigating the space and learning about what is up with Lunar Transfer Station Tacoma. Yeah, I'm really excited. I was a level designer on it, so I did a lot of like designing the layouts of the levels and sort of placing objects throughout the levels and scripting. I just scripted a lot of like the AR, this like AR interactive elements, like there's an AR calendar, a bunch of workstations. And yeah, this is like, I'm just like, what did I do? I did a lot of different things. Being a level designer is like, you just do everything.
Here's seven hats.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's really ultimately about these characters and learning about them through the leftover data on the station, and while also sort of doing your job as a contractor and gathering this data. There's a cool sort of element to the story about AI, because there's an AI on the station, and you learn about the crew's relationship to the AI, who's named Odin. And that's actually one of my favorite parts of the story, is learning about Odin and his history and what his role is. Probably my favorite character is Sarah. For when you play it, look out for her story, because I think she's one of my favorite characters. And she's got lots of scenes with Odin. So I guess I like AI sci-fi stories. So
oh, yes, definitely.
I was really excited when Carla and Steve were like sort of integrating that. But yeah, I'm really excited. I think people are really going to like it. So yeah, it'll be out on August 2nd.
Yes, we are both super, super excited to get our hands on that. So good luck finishing it up. I know the last half a month might be a little busy.
Chaos. And
yeah, absolute chaos.
pre-order it also if people are interested in that sort of thing. The site is tacomaga.me, so like Tacoma Game, and you can like pre-order it for all your things there if you're into that.
Yeah, I definitely encourage people to check it out as well, since each month we play a different indie game we're really anticipating or has recently come out. And if you jump in as well, you can listen to our next episode as well, talking all about it and all its secrets.
Yay!
Yeah, I'm so excited. I believe also if you pre-order it on Steam, there is a slight discount as well, right, until the launch date?
I should know off the top of my head, but probably. Whatever okay. It says is true.
Okay, yeah. No, I think it's something like maybe 10, 20% off until August 2nd. So get your hands on it early. We're so excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. It's crazy. I've been working on it for like 3 years. So
wow.
Surreal that it's coming out. It's like really weird. This is like the longest amount of time I've ever worked on a game and the first time I've actually worked at a studio. So it's a weird new experience for me.
Yeah, wow. Okay. Good luck wrapping that up.
Thanks.
Yeah, very, very excited to play through it.
Yeah, I think you guys like story games. So I think
yes. Yeah, so we want to say super, super thank you for joining us on this interview. We super appreciate
it. Really fun.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Where can we find you online?
So my online areas, you can follow me on Twitter. my handle's @hentaiphd. And my website is ninasays.so. That's ninasays.so. And a lot of my games are free to play on there, including, obviously, we talked about Lost Memories. That's a free game that you can play on my site. And Starmade Games is sort of like the group name I've used for a lot of these games, even though my collaborators are always shifting. Aaron Friedman worked with me on both Lost Memories and Kimmy, and he's A.E. Friedman on Twitter. So check out his stuff. He's great. And Fulbright. Obviously, I mentioned the Tacoma website before, but our Twitter is Tacoma Game. So you can follow that for like moment to moment updates about the game coming out and stuff.
Nice. We'll put all the links on the monstervine.com post as well.
Sweet.
Yes. So an additional quick note to listeners before we say goodbye. This month's episode of Indie Complete covering Perception is going to be out next week. We're very busy this week. Jamie is currently moving this weekend and today is his birthday. So it's
happy
been
birthday, Jamie.
Happy birthday, Jamie. yes. So that episode will be out next week. And then next month we'll be talking about Tacoma. So tune in for that as well. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you again, Nina, for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.
All right.
Bye. Bye, everybody.